Well, last week we kind of had an introduction to the Beatitudes, talking about these verses in Matthew 5 really state what a Christian is meant to be. They're not, well, I'm going to shoot for 2 on the list that I'm the best at, because that's going to be the minimal amount that I have to do. I'm going to dare to say that we have to look like all of those on there. We need to look like that. We need to act like that. I mean, it's funny because somebody was talking to me afterwards. They were having a hard time saying Beatitudes. And they're like, it really sounds like it's our attitude. Yeah. I mean, this scripture really affects our attitude and says that we are transformed when we come to Jesus and our life has changed. Talked about last week how the Beatitudes are not something that is a natural human tendency. In fact, the Beatitudes really living in this world are really supernatural. And they're supernatural because they come from God and we can't do them without God. So, if you really look at it, the Beatitudes are who we are transformed into, and the fruit from that is the fruits of the Spirit. So just keep that in the back of your head as we go through the Beatitudes. And today we are in Matthew 5 again, but only one verse. You guys are like, yes! Short sermon. No. So, let's go ahead. Matthew 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. The world says that you need to be rich in spirit. God says the exact opposite. Imagine that. It's God's ways, not the world's ways. God expects us to behave differently. And this is a distinction that must be maintained. We are, now listen to this. This is profound. We are transformed from the inside out, not the outside in. The world says, you look the part, you become the part. God says, I am the part. You're transformed from your heart out. It changes every part of your being. It's who you become. In order for the world to know Christ, they must see Him through us. The Beatitudes are examples of how Christ lived, how Christ walked. They're also how we should conduct ourselves. And by doing these things and becoming these things, the fruit of the Spirit will be people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, that's something that you don't hear preached a lot, that we have a responsibility to share the Word of God with others. It's not to find the people, point them out, and tell the preacher about it so he can go talk to them. It's God gave you that divine appointment, if you will, to speak to that person about Jesus. And in this day and age, it usually comes through the relationship you have with them. Whether it's the newspaper boy, whether it's the cable guy, whether it's the person that sits in the cubicle next to you or on the desk next to you. You begin to have a relationship. And if you are living as you're meant to be with these Beatitudes, they're going to notice something different about you. So what's the other side of the coin? If they don't notice something different about you, have you been transformed? Have you been transformed? You can't question me. Yes, I can question you. Because that's why we're sitting in this room, right? We're here to be lifted up and to be... No, that's not why we're here. We're here to lift Jesus up. We're here to celebrate what He has done in our life so we can begin to understand who He is and what He has done so we can share that with the world. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the poor in spirit belong to Jesus and are members of His kingdom. The poor in spirit has nothing to do with poverty. We are not a health, wealth church. Obviously. That's not us. But that doesn't mean that we strive for poverty because we're going to get the kingdom of heaven. I looked, when I was studying this, I looked in 7 different commentaries that made me sick because that's what they said. I'm like, these guys are published Bible scholars and they missed the point of the Greek. It has nothing to do with that. Here's another way to say it is, blessed are the saved. Blessed are those who have given up all rights to their life, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Jesus is not referring to poverty. He's not talking about being poor. That's not right. The poor in spirit are those who know that it isn't their spirit who can save them. But they have been broken and been remade. In other words, they have committed spiritual bankruptcy. They've hit zero because they've tried to do it themselves for too long. You're so far behind when you live in sin that you're behind the ball. The battle has been won. Jesus said, it is finished. You know what that means? Satan is beaten. Those who are caught in sin deserve eternal punishment. We deserve eternal punishment. What's the difference between us and the world? The blood of Jesus covers our sins. The blood of Jesus covers our sins. We depend on God because we're spiritually poor, not on ourselves. Jesus says the poor in spirit will be blessed. What does that mean? Like I said before, if it deals with your wealth in this world, you would get more wealth, right? If you commit to be poor, you're going to get a lot of riches. Does that logic even make sense? Because if you're poor and you want more money, then you're going to be rich, and then you're not going to have the kingdom of heaven. The world's logic doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me anyway. See, the poor in spirit realize that there's a hole in their heart, that their souls are empty, that we're walking around in the dark and we figured out that we're running into things and it hurts. The poor in spirit will be blessed. Yes, we will be blessed here in this life, but that's not what this is talking about, I don't think. You know, we look at the small picture too much. There's a bigger picture going on. We will be blessed in this life to come. Because there's a bigger picture than the 80 to 100 years that we live on this world. There's an eternity that goes beyond that. And you know what? We could spend eternity in eternal death. Let me tell you, that's not going to be laying in a box somewhere for the rest of your life. That's pain, punishment. The Bible relates that to a lake of fire. A lake of fire does not sound fun to me. That's not a blessing. But a blessing is spending eternity with Jesus, with eternal life. And the world has dumbed this down a little bit for us. It's like sitting on a cloud. Heaven is not a Hallmark card. That's not what heaven is. Heaven is eternity with our Savior. I mean, and only Christians can truly understand that. You know, the world doesn't care. The world just doesn't care. They're going to do what they want. And they're going to justify what they want to do there too. We don't get that luxury. We read the scriptures. And we see that we are not our own. We see that this world was created by God, that we belong to Him, that He wrote the story, that He's in control, and we trust in that. At least we're supposed to trust in that. And He says we get to spend eternity. Most teachers, I'll call myself a teacher for a second, don't tell you to read the last page first. Read the last page of this. Just a description of what heaven's going to look like. The new heaven and the new earth. Contrast that with a lake of fire. We see things differently. The poor in spirit are the ones who seek God. They long to have that emptiness filled. We acknowledge our spiritual poverty. We're the ones that stand up and say, without God, I am nothing. Because, once again, we have read the book. There is no one righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. June, you don't got to whisper. You can just yell it out. No. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not some. All. Not just a few. All. We are nothing. And somewhere we figured that out. And we went to God and we said, without you, I'm nothing. I hope that's your experience. Sometimes people get saved and they go into the waters of baptism and they come back out and they're identified with Christ, and for a few moments, it's a happy day. Then we just go back to normal life. Is that right? Thank you. Making sure you're still here with me. Because if Well, here's the other side of the coin again. Been using that a lot today. If you're saved, you have eternal life. But if you're a sinner, you're under the holy wrath of God and deserving nothing but His judgment. We, before Christ, have nothing to offer, nothing to plead with, and nothing which we can buy the favor of God. We don't bribe Jesus and say, you know what? I become a Christian, then I'll give my life to you. Then you will give me the best job, you will give me the best health, the best family, and I will do whatever you ask me to do. It doesn't work like that. I'm sorry if that makes you mad, because that was your experience. You were taught wrong. God calls you. God transforms you because you realize that you are nothing. The cool thing is, He even tells you that. There's a clear-cut distinction between us and the world. Because when you walk around as a sinner, you're everything, right? I got all the money. I got all the girls. I got all the toys. I look the best. I have 10 cars. I don't wash my socks. I just buy new ones all the time. I say that because the world is funny. That thinking is funny. But it really happens. You know, if I just won the lottery, everything will be taken care of. Except for one thing. You're still nothing. And you'll probably still be buying a lottery ticket the next day. Because that $450 million isn't enough. To be poor in spirit is not to be admired by the world. And in fact, it means that we will be despised by the world. you're going to see that more and more and more. You know, it's like I talked about last week a little bit, InterVarsity Press was kicked off all of the California university college systems because they had a set of beliefs and it was Christian. They got kicked off because they wouldn't allow people that didn't hold to their beliefs to be in leadership. But guess who didn't get kicked off? The secular fraternities and sororities, even though they had a set of secular beliefs and things that you had to do to become a member. So saying, what they were saying is, anybody can walk off the street and become a member of InterVarsity Press, a Christian organization. And they had to accept them. I want to be president. Well, you don't hold to our beliefs. So, but I couldn't walk off the street and join a fraternity without going through all their stuff. Double standard. We will be despised by the world. It will not be easy. That's why we need the church. That's why the brotherhood is important. That's why walking together is important. That's why the Bible talks about the brotherhood of all believers. Because we are a family. When it comes down to it, there is nothing else. There is nothing else. Being poor in spirit is to see yourself for what you are. You're lost and you're in need of a Savior. The Lord says in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. There's another one of those things that you're a sinner and you deserve hell and you're worthless without me. This should wake us up. Because we cannot achieve anything without the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. We can't. You may have the fastest car, but it's not going to get you the glory you need because you don't deserve the glory. God deserves the glory. To be poor in spirit is to have a strong awareness of our utter nothingness when we come before God. We know it. And we sing about it. And we read about it. And we pray about it. And sin hurts us. And you're going to see the logical order of the Beatitudes. As we go through this series, you're going to see today is poor in spirit. Next week is blessed are those who mourn. Because we're going to become more aware of our sin. And not just our sin, but the sin of the world. And you're going to start seeing the difference. As you live your life for Christ, and the world lives their life for whatever, that's going to break your heart. If they only knew what I knew. Tell them about it. They can know. See, the world boasts in itself, but we're supposed to boast in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:17, Paul says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Galatians 6:14. May I never boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing good in us. And we are constantly in the need of a Savior. But let me tell you something. When the grace of God covers you, your sin is gone. The sin that you did do, the sin that you're currently doing, and the sin that you're going to do, God knows. God takes care of it. You're forgiven. Does that give you a pass to keep on sinning? Paul says no. He says, because you're transformed, you do things differently. You do what you were meant to do. The world doesn't concern itself about Christian things. That bothers us. But does the church concern itself about godly things? Should the church concern itself about godly things? By all means. And we should be excited for those things. We should be excited. There's an old hymn called Rock of Ages. Anybody heard of it? Sorry, I had to say that. You know the story of that? Augustus M. Toplady, I hope I'm saying that right, wrote that hymn. He wrote that hymn in England. He was out, and a massive thunderstorm came up. Actually, two thunderstorms kind of converged together, and that's never a good thing. And he had to go in between these two massive limestone rocks. They were running over 100 feet high, and that's where he wrote the hymn. I just want to share with you what he said in verses 2 and 3. Not the labors of my hands could fulfill the law's commands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. This is the language of the poor in spirit. God, I am nothing, and you are everything. God, I can't do it alone. I need you to do it. And you know what? He does. He does. You know? His Spirit comes into our life and changes us. He shows us our spiritual poverty. He says, look at you. Look at what you're doing. My grandma used to say that to me all the time. I get in trouble. She'd go, look at what you're doing. You're doing something wrong. Yeah. Sorry. I still get a spank. But God says, look at what you're doing. Look how you're living. Look where you are. John Calvin says, he only who is reduced to nothing in himself and relies on the mercy of God is poor in spirit. He who only is reduced to nothing in himself can rely on the mercy of God and is poor in spirit. He who takes his pride and throws it away and becomes a slave to righteousness. You know, you grow up and you're like, I can't wait to get out of my parents' house and be independent. Anybody ever have that thought? Let me tell you what true independence is. Giving all your rights up and following Jesus. Saying, this is the way I'm going to go. This is the way I'm going to go. It's not partway. It's not halfway. It's not a quarter of the way. It's not running on, you know, you just right before the red line, before the light comes on in your car. It's not there. It's all the way full. The Lord says such a person who realizes he is nothing and gives all of his rights away and becomes a slave to righteousness is truly blessed. And that person belongs in the kingdom of heaven. Let me ask you, is Jesus your everything? Truly, is he your everything? Have you surrendered your hopes and your dreams and just said, you know what? God, you're my hopes and my dreams. Think about that for a second. I mean, today I really want you to ask yourself, in your life, have you been poor in spirit? That's kind of a trick question. Because the way it's written, this is a continuing thing. It's kind of present tense. It's not, oh, right before I was baptized, I was poor in spirit. Came out of the water, then I got over that poor in spirit job. Everything we do and everything that we are came from God and needs to point back to God. Everything. Everything. Everything from our lives, our cars, our families. Jeez, Kelly, you're getting kind of personal. Yeah, you're right, I am. Everything. Hearts, attitudes, thinking, behavior, the way we look at the world, the way we justify the sin in our life. Today, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but I want you to know one thing. Without God, you're nothing. Without God, I'm nothing. And I can stand up here all day long and preach and preach and preach. You can go to 100 Bible studies, and if you don't know Jesus, you're still going to be empty. You can have all the knowledge, and you're still going to be empty. Until you can just say, I like that, foul, I to the mountain fly. You know what foul is? Because of the sin in your life, you stink. Think everybody in the world wants you next to them. But when it comes down to it, you stink so bad, nobody wants you around. But you go to the fountain of God, the fountain of life, and you just walk in and you say, Jesus, wash me. You know, wash me so I can have life. And I think that song kind of ends with a question. Jesus, if you don't do this, I'm going to die. Today, I hope you come face to face with your sin. And maybe you need to come to know Jesus for the first time. If that's where you are, man, welcome to the club. Welcome to being spiritually poor. Without Jesus, we're not spiritually rich. We're spiritually nothing. And I invite you to come forward and say, hey, I want to identify with Christ. I want to get to know Him. I want to identify with Him. I want to go into the waters of baptism. I want to come back out and tell the world that I belong to Jesus. Maybe you've already been to that place. Maybe you've been there and you missed this step. What do you mean? What do you mean you missed this step? I know what sin is, but did you commit spiritual bankruptcy? Did you say, I am nothing? I can't do it by myself anymore. I need forgiven of my trespasses. I think some versions of the Bible call that debts. I hope you're starting to see the Bible in a different way. If that's where you are, I invite you to come forward. No, the Bible says, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up from your bed of death and come to life. What's your response today? What's your response? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for revealing in our life who we truly are. For showing us that without you we are nothing. Father, to showing us that we need to be poor in spirit, but alive in you. Thank you for your gift of salvation. Thank you for your gift of new life. Father, thank you for washing us and making us new, making us clean, taking the stench of sin off of us and washing it away and giving us new life and new purpose Father, allow us to be your slaves. And may we just say those words that was written in the hymn, that you are our rock, and you will keep us safe in the cleft of your mountain. Father, allow us to make good decisions today. For your scripture says that today is a day of salvation. May we come to know you like we've never known you before. Transform us from the inside out and change us, everything in us. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing this one.
We are nothing.